Hello, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Alchemist Club. I'm Joe, your host and dungeon master for another thrilling D&D adventure. Joining me here today, we have
Daniel playing Jedfleet.
Hey all, playing Desmond.
I'm Zach, and I play Falrock.
I'm Matt, and I play Leolin.
Waffle, playing Tarjok Tiger.
We have not received any fan mail in the 2 weeks since the last time we recorded. So, we're going to jump right into our recap. Who wants to remind everybody, including our adventurers, what happened last time?
Do we have to remind everyone of just how stupid
Look,
I am?
There's
No.
All we need to say about the situation is that a large robot was aggroed. We don't have to get into the specifics of who or how or why that may have
Look,
happened.
Look, I mean, we're, what, 250-ish episodes into this? I figure every 120 episodes I get to make an oops.
You're right, yeah.
The first one was leaving you all alone and not telling you where I went. Now I've aggroed a robot.
When we get back to the ship and we go to, like, the oops board, Falrock finally gets a mark on him. Like,
Falrock has a second oops, and it like, zooms into the board, and it's, like, the columns for everybody. Tarjok's, of course, is full of oops. And then it zooms out, and there's a second whiteboard just for Tarjok.
Yeah.
This one doesn't have any oops. They're all done on purpose.
We count them, though. They still count to us.
All the oops is instead of tally marks, they're question marks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of a swear jar, we should just have an oops jar for coins.
An oops jar.
So yeah, we are exploring some kind of like hatchling defense preparation facility kind of thing, and there's a bunch of adamantine golems that are in some kind of assembly line that we got a glimpse of from the elevator, and we went through a door that we had to find a flower to get through. It's all very, like, eldritch and otherworldly. And then we found a room with a giant golem in it, surrounded by destroyed golems, and now we're like, alright, we gotta get in there, we gotta think this through. And then someone may have spoken aloud to the golem at its feet and activated it, and now it is attempting to murder us.
That its absence of a head, because this thing doesn't have a head.
Yes.
Alexa, turn on Golem.
Yeah, more or less. Look, last time there was writing above the door, it was a hidden code that I couldn't figure out, so I needed to read aloud and, you know, read it aloud. Shrug.
Yep.
Definitely realized that nobody else had talked in the room because we were being stealthy on approach and totally didn't mistake that we had not had conversations in the presence of this golem before, so.
Yeah.
But anyways, we're mid-combat. We're top of the round. Or no, are we?
No, well, we're top of the round, but yeah, we are mid-combat. The golem is doing something weird, right? It's flipping back and forth. There's an adamantine plate that is red hot, and it has just fallen onto it, narrowly avoiding crushing myself. I'm not looking so hot. I'm not having a good time. Mom, I'm scared. Come pick me up. I want to go home.
And I believe Desmond had, like, readied an action that we need to resolve?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, I hope he wrote it down, because I didn't.
I figured as much. Yep.
I want to say I was going to banish Tarjok. That's what I was going to do. But I was going to run it by Joe to make sure I didn't, like, split him in half.
I mean, I think banish as a spell gets the whole creature. And
well, it's just that I'm so fucked up.
You haven't been wholly bisected by the cloud in your chest yet.
Here.
Almost,
yeah,
but not
gone.
Wholly. So banish, banish would take Tarjok in his entirety.
Yeah, but it's like, Tarjok, I'll get to you in 3 to 5 business days, and I cast banish.
What is that even? And then I'm gone.
I mean, you can save.
The thing is,
or you can willingly fail.
I have faith in my captain.
That seems risky.
I don't know if that's ever a good idea, but I see
that's
this
faith.
Beam of scintillating light coming at me. I'm like, you know what? I think Desmond has ultimately my best intentions. He's got my best interest at heart. I throw my arms wide and I take the beam in the chest and I poof into a cloud of smoke and cease to exist.
You don't cease to exist. You appear in a small elevator-like room. The We Me channel theme is playing on loop. And there's a single telephone receiver.
And I'm incapacitated while I'm in here, is that correct? Or
no. You're okay. you're just not on the prime material.
Follow up question. Can I be guzzling potions while I'm in here?
I don't see why not.
Okay.
I'm gonna double check the wording of the spell, but I'm pretty sure it literally just sends you like
I think
away.
You're incapacitated while you're in the other plane.
You banish the target. While there, the target is incapacitated. It does say okay. that.
So I'll assume that I don't have my healing potions available, and I will go up to the phone, because I got nothing else to do while I'm wondering about the fate of my compatriots, and I'll just pick up the phone.
And I yell, Falrock, make him a space.
All right.
Fortunately, or unfortunately, Terrajux is at the very bottom of initiative, so we don't have to worry about that phone call just yet.
Yeah.
It is Ched's turn.
Which is great, because I completely forgot what I was going to do next in combat.
Y'all gotta write these things down.
Yeah. I mean, I remember it had started jetting off of the ground and shooting lasers, and it was trying to bring up activate a couple other of the smaller golems, right?
Yes. Yeah.
It also has weapon arms that are firing, I believe, the crossbow that shoots ballista bolts at us.
Yeah.
Has been mm-hmm. damaged. The crossbow has not been damaged, but the arm holding the crossbow has been damaged.
Yes.
And I think I was trying to block off one of the tethers so it couldn't fully res the other golems.
Mm-hmm.
And I only blocked off one. But isn't the core unobstructed now?
No,
where's
so,
the jets coming from?
As a reminder to people about the current state of the very bad, terrible, no good hole, that various bad things come out of. So I had pushed a plate up against it, on top of it, and then the thing flipped over and the plate fell on me and superheated and burned me something fierce. I launched the plate back up, which blocked the thruster and made the thing drop again. So it fell from like 30 or 40 feet up directly down onto a like red hot adamantium plate. And
yes.
I don't think it's gotten back up since then, so we don't know the state of the hole, but it is covered for the moment.
Okay. I'm going to go try to pin it.
Ooh.
You're going to...
So...
Okay.
Wrestle it.
Remind me...
I'm going to try to pin one of its... I guess one of its arms or legs.
Okay.
That's probably more reasonable.
I was going to say, well, unless you've turned into something very big...
I am. I mean, I'm large, right?
What's your dragon?
I'm a
bigger,
large creature.
Bigger. As big as you go.
Limited by challenge ratings. This is probably as big as it gets.
Limited by the technology of my time.
Yeah, I can only wild shape into dragons, guys. Like I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Man, we're just
best I got. man. Yeah, I'm going to try to pin an arm. Because it's on its back, technically, or is it on its...
From what you've seen so far, you don't know that you would say that it has a back or a front.
Okay.
Because it seems pretty capable of just kind of rotating those configurations at will.
Okay.
But it's, like... It's currently, I guess, on its quote-unquote stomach, because the hole from which things emerged was on the front when you came into the room.
The bad stuff hole.
So the hole is currently pointing towards the ground.
Yeah, I'm going to try to pin one of its appendages.
Okay. I think that's a strength check.
Strength, yeah. They're just competing strength checks, I think, right?
Okay.
Oh.
A promising sound.
Is for you. I rolled a 6.
Total?
A total.
Okay. Yeah, that's unfortunately not going to be sufficient to pin an arm. So, out of curiosity, which limb? Because you have the two quote-unquote legs. You've got sword and you've got crossbow.
Probably leg.
Okay. So, I apologize. Apparently I've just been hit by a wave of sleepiness and I'm just going to be yawning. So Ched latches on to one of the legs of this contraption. He doesn't seem to have like hindered it, but I don't know, having a full-size dragon attached to your leg would probably make moving around a little more difficult just by virtue of mass. Would you like to do anything else on your turn?
Nope.
Okay. We roll on around to Desmond, who is concentrating on banishment.
I'm going to whip out my decanter of water, and I'm going to set it to fire hose mode and try to cool off that steel plate.
Okay. Go ahead and make a, I'm going to say, dexterity check to see if you can kind of position your aim.
That is a 10.
Yeah. It's a pretty big plate. It's red hot. It's kind of hard to miss.
Kind of aiming for where Terrajux was less seen. Is where I'm...
Yeah,
to clarify really quickly, I'm not still under the plate, or I wasn't when I was banished. I had rolled out of the way.
Yes. But you are safe from harm where you are.
I'm still in proximity to it, you're right.
Okay. So, clouds of steam start to billow off of this adamantine plate. You don't know if this is really the correct way to forge or smelt two pieces of adamantine together, but you're giving it the old college try here.
trying to give my wind warrior some ammunition.
Yeah. So that seems to be it. You're definitely cooling it down. What's actually happening to the plate underneath, you can't tell yet, and you probably won't be able to until it gets up.
Works for me. I'm still positioned pretty far out of the way, right?
Sure.
Okay, then I remain out of the way.
Excellent. Next up is Falrock.
Okay. I was still on the premises of the golem after having dropped from the ceiling onto it. I'm going to try to run over to the shoulder of the arm holding the crossbow and just pound it. I'm gonna flurry of blows for this, so.
Okay.
Okay. Those are some numbers. Well, one of them is a nat 20.
Yeah, that'll hit.
Then I have a 30, a 27, and a 14.
Everything other than the 14 hits.
Okay, that is 31 total damage. The hits were for 13, 6, and God, I can't math. 12. 13, 6, and 12.
Okay.
13 was with the full damage from the nat 20?
How did you roll your crit? Did you roll it with take max and then roll again?
Oh, sorry. Taking max and rolling again, that would be a 21 from that first hit then.
Okay.
So that's an extra 8 damage. So 39.
Excellent. Okay. So, because you are wearing adamantine gauntlets, you are able to do some proper damage to this impossibly tough and impossibly dense metal. Mm-hmm. So, you're really, like, bang away at this arm, and you hear crunching, and, it's not, like, it's not clockwork. I want to make it clockwork really badly, but it's not clockwork. Whatever mechanism is inside of this, you've messed it up. Like, you can hear whatever it is in there straining and struggling to continue functioning. And you suspect that when this thing stands back up, it's probably not going to have access to that arm.
Excellent.
Okay. Anything else?
No, that's good for me.
All right. That brings us around to Leolin.
Okay, well, seeing that arm has been worked on pretty well, how's the arm with the sword looking?
Exactly the same as when you walked into the room. Nothing has happened to the sword arm. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I couldn't remember. I couldn't remember if we had messed with it at all.
Very sharp.
Okay. All right. Well, it still needs to stand up. It's been working on getting resurrected or not, or getting these, like, how many golems around to, like, join the battle?
Quite a lot. They're, like, this room is fairly large, maybe 75 feet or so, and it's a half circle with the adamantine golem on the flat end, and mm-hmm. scattered throughout are just these wrecks of smaller golems. There's probably anywhere from 20 to 24 in here.
And all of them are, like, what, just starting to...
It's only got, like, 2 tethers out that are active, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's only activated 2 out of the set right now.
All right. Well, then this is what I'm going to do, then. Where do I see where, like, the tethers are connecting to? Are those golems, like, fully together? Or are they, like... Basically, like, are they reconstituting themselves? Is that what's going on as...
You don't know. So far, whatever it's doing doesn't seem to have taken effect.
But are the tethers connected to golems?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and preemptively shoot a couple of adamantine arrows into each of the golems that it's tethered to. To just kind of mess those two up before
slow them down while it's easy
they get into the fight, or maybe even break the tether.
Okay, feel free.
All right, so I pick up a couple more of the adamantine bolts and I fire one at each of them.
Make your attack rolls.
All right. That's a 18 on the first to hit, and a total of 30 on the second.
Both of those will hit.
Okay. And the damage, did you say it was a D10? Or...
I believe I said it was a D12.
Okay.
Apologies, listeners, if there is a lack of continuity. It has
that
been
sounds familiar.
2 weeks.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I'll take the more damage. That's a 15 on the first one and an 8 on the second one.
Okay. These adamantine bolts crunch into the smaller adamantine golems that are currently being affixed by the large one, and nothing immediately happens.
That's fine. Did they like smash into the wall though, so where maybe they would be even like have to like pull the bolts out or anything, or are they just kind of stuck into them?
Pinned? They yeah. weren't anywhere near the wall, so unfortunately okay. there was no.
That's fine. All right. And then I'm going to position myself behind any sort of cover I can. Not just immediately be slashed by a sword.
Plenty of spots to do that amongst all of the adamantine wreckage in here.
Then I shadow step to a good spot of cover. So.
Okay. Next up is the adamantine golem, which is going to kind of stand up, by which I mean it just kind of shifts upward by the hip and is now in a full standing position, with that adamantine plate kind of very crudely grafted onto its torso.
Yes.
Where the hole was previously.
Mission accomplished. That was worth my entire health bar.
The center of that plate starts to turn kind of a nice cherry red, but the plate remains intact so far. And let's see, what else is this going to do? Falrock, you're in the general vicinity of it, right?
Yeah, I landed on it when I dropped from the ceiling last time, and I have just maintained.
Okay, so you're like on its back. Yeah. Dragon Shed is gnawing on its ankle.
We're such a dignified party.
Look, I'm as big as one of its legs.
Gnawing on its upper thigh.
Much juicier.
Much better.
Yeah, please.
It pauses for a moment, like it gets very still, and then it runs. The entire outer surface is covered in a crackling field of electricity. And I need Falrock and Ched to both make dexterity saving throws, or you can, you know, let go of slash move away from the golem to avoid this effect.
You got a 16.
How far do I need to move away to dodge the effect?
Well, you're not sure, but you know that being in direct contact with it is a surefire way to be electrocuted.
Well, how much movement am I allocated here? Like a full move action?
I'm going to say you can you can use your reaction to move 15 feet away.
What if my fly speed is like twice my move speed?
You are currently grappled onto the leg of the golem, so I'm going to say that the space of a reaction is not enough to get your wings under you, as it were.
Okay, I'll move 15 feet away then.
Okay, so Falrock, you are still going to take some damage because you're, like, in direct contact with an electrically charged surface, even if it's only briefly. So you're going to take 18 points of lightning damage.
Okay.
And then that electrical current kind of lingers on its legs and forearms, including the useless. So when it stands up, also the crossbow arm is just kind of dangling there and occasionally twitching and making a grinding sound.
Great.
But it's definitely not in a position where it can, like, lift up and aim at anything. So that's good for you all. Well done. So this electrical current remains kind of along its... from below the knee and from the elbow to the hand. Then it's going to swing its sword at Chet. What is your armor class as a dragon?
17.
Okay. Hey, pretty good.
Thanks to your escape, your dodge out of the way, you are actually able to avoid taking any hits from the sword. And then, to round its turn off, it's going to clomp further towards you, Ched. And also, the adamantine golems at the end of these beams are going to lift up off the ground entirely and nyroom over to the adamantine golem and kind of clomp onto it as a form of makeshift armor.
Well,
like all over its body or in just...
So they like lift up out of the ground and are kind of pulled into pieces, and the pieces kind of patch up spots where major damage has been done. So particularly focused around that crossbow arm, which is now looking significantly bulkier and weightier.
And oh no, it's swole.
There's a kind of yellowish glow that's coming from the shoulder and elbow joints of that arm. And that brings us to Terrajux. You're in an elevator listening to some cheerful music.
Boop, 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 boop.
Who are you calling?
I guess I don't know if there's actually like a dial...
It's a rotary phone.
I just pick up the phone and see if the line's already live at first.
A voice on the other end says, "How can we help you?"
Oh, that's kind of a loaded question, isn't it?
That, I suppose so, sir.
I don't know. There's been, like, a lot going on. We have this whole, like, shadow Illuminati we have to deal with. And I feel like we're just kind of treading water, you know? And then we're just running in a circle trying to chase down these shadows. And there's this whole, I'm becoming a cloud. And we've got all kinds of crazy blood stuff going on. And, you know, I don't know, man. How can you help us?
I meant you specifically, sir.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Can I, like, order something off here? Do you do delivery?
That depends on what you would like delivered.
I'm, like, thumbing through what's in like my
a
pack.
Catalog.
What? What do I need in this exact situation? I could really use a technical manual on golemancy.
there's the sound of like rustling papers on the other end of the line.
Barring that, something that melts adamantium would also suffice.
I'm afraid we don't have anything back here that could assist with that.
Sure, yeah. I figured.
There's the rustling sound gets a little bit louder, and then there's like a ding, and a little slot opens under the telephone, and...
Oh!
a small sheet of paper with a very detailed diagram of a golem slides out the bottom.
Whoa, okay. I snatch it up and I start like skimming for anything here explaining like where the power source would be or what it's powered by or if, like, weak points. I'm looking for weak points, you know? I'm looking for, is there a, like, does it have something on the golem where it's like, do not expose the golem to coffee creamer or it voids the warranty? And I'm like, oh, I know what I'm exposing that golem to. But something less ridiculous, but of a similar caliber.
It seems to indicate that most golems have a control core somewhere in their body that is where the kind of commands for the mechanism are laid out.
Okay.
And damaging or destroying that would cause the golem to stop acting, much in the same way that, like, deleting a chunk of code from an operating system would break the operating system.
This orb, do I have a rough sense of how big it is? Is it usually, like, fixed in
place? It's proportional to the golem.
Okay.
The larger the golem and the more complex the instructions, the larger the orb would need to be.
Okay. Is there anything... I would also be interested if there's any information on, like, how a golem detects friend and foe kind of thing, like a...
The IFF system.
Yeah, how... Is a golem doing this visually? Is it doing with some kind of magical signature? Is it, like, heat-based?
Well, that depends on what the golem is equipped with. And the one that you were fighting, that you didn't see that it had, like, any eyes, so...
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is semi-helpful. I guess... Hello, are you still there?
Yes, sir. How can we be of additional service?
Can I leave a voicemail for my mom?
There's a long pause. and the voice says, I'm afraid we're unable to reach your mother at this time.
Okay, yeah, no, yeah, I just figured it. Okay, thanks, bye, click. And I'm gonna keep reading the golem sheet in case I'm struck with inspiration on a weakness that we've overlooked. Other than just beating the shit out of it.
Okay.
It's going great.
What else is he gonna do in the elevator? he could
no,
be
I
there
meant,
for...
I meant the beating, I meant oh. beating the shit out of it going great.
Yeah.
That brings us back around to Ched.
I guess I'm going toe-to-toe with this thing, but it's like twice my height.
Is that pun intended?
Yes.
Think very carefully about your answer, Daniel.
I'm channeling Icing Death, the white dragon, also known as Great Frost Anklebiter. And I'm gonna try to, because I don't know, and I think it's just a big hunk of metal still. And what better way to beat a big hunk of metal is to make it into smaller hunks of metal. And I'm going to multi-attack the, I'm gonna say the left thigh to try to break the leg from the torso.
Okay.
Not necessarily with a single attack, you know. Yeah, but I'm gonna target that spot, try to chip away at it.
That's gonna be a chonky one to accomplish.
So that is a bite for 19.
Munch.
And two claw attacks. That's a 24. Oh, and a nat one.
Well, that one's not going to do so well for you. I believe the others hit.
Okay.
And then we'll discuss your critical failure once you've rolled damage.
So that's 14 piercing.
Okay.
Plus a d8. in cold, so 7 cold. And then 2d6 plus 4 slashing. That's 8 plus 4 is 12. And that's it. I don't get the other claw.
Okay. Need to do a little bit of math here. Which is difficult to do when Arya's claws are digging into my legs. Okay. So, as you go in for this attack, it's great. You do some damage. You can see like little claw and bite marks on the thigh. But then as you are coming down off of it, you slide right onto that electrified portion. And now Arya is standing directly in front of my dice box. She's being very helpful this week. Excuse me, ma'am. I need these. Thank you. And you are going to take 15 points of lightning damage.
Okie dokie.
Okie dokie, Smokey. Anything else?
Nope, that's it.
All right, over to Desmond.
Okay. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to cancel concentrating on banishment.
Okay. Yeah. Terrajux, you are like the elevator door dings open and you are blown out of the elevator by some unseen force.
I tumble end over end and land face down. My hand clutching a piece of paper that I'm frantically waving in the air above me, going, "I've got a call! I've got a call!"
Eureka!
Wait a minute, you touched my platinum subscriber phone?
Oh no!
Platinum Patreon subscribers can get one free call with Desmond every month. yeah, so right. Welcome back, Terrajux.
Hello.
The next thing I want to do is Desmond shouts, "I cast Desmond's blue ball." And for everybody at home, that's mass cure wounds.
Oh. Very fancy.
I don't like the sound of that, but okay.
So, a watery blue sphere centered. Well, I've got a range of 60 feet, and it's a 30-foot sphere. I'd like to catch Terrajux and maybe one other person at it if we can.
Terrajux, Falrock, and Ched are all
okay.
Pretty close to one another around
the
golem.
The mist that came off of
need it the most, anyways.
The superheated plate kind of like condenses and starts to spin in a spherical motion, and you guys gain 8, 4, 23 hit points back.
Oof.
It's a high level spell.
We back up.
Yeah.
Okay. I sit up.
Break
and
time's
my
over.
Teeth knocked out. Go flying back up into my gums.
The horrific burn scars disappear.
Yeah.
Okay. Falrock, it is your turn.
Oh.
I'm reeling too from the imagery of teeth replanting themselves in Terrajux's gums.
That is on a scale of 1 to 10, as far as you're concerned, Ched. That's like a 3. Yeah.
That's some good. That's some like quality body horror.
Well, it's so much cheaper than me having to grow them back for him.
Yeah.
That's slow too.
Jeez.
The Alchemist Club.
Hooray! So the shoulder that I was punching has now been reinforced.
Yes.
I think I'm gonna try and make a dent in its back again. opposite of where the central core superheat is happening. See if, I don't know, maybe break its back somehow. Yeah, and I'll flurry of blows again. I'm just gonna keep hitting. Wow. Okay. So that's a critical fail, a 17, and then 2 nat 20s.
Wow.
The whole world.
All right.
So yeah, that's the thing my dice did.
Yeah, the crits will hit. The others will not.
Gotcha. So the first one is max damage totally, because I rolled an 8. The next one is a 2, so that's a total of 15, and the previous one's 21. So that's a total of 36.
Crunchy. All right. Remind me, did you get the math blew it out of my brain. Did you get a natural 1 in there too?
I did. That was the first one I rolled.
Yes. So as with Ched, it's very challenging to get at a part of this that isn't currently electrified. So you are going to take 11 points of electrical damage through these punches, which isn't the worst.
No, not the worst. Okay. But I still maintain that I'm running on its back?
Sure.
Okay. Awesome. Then I'm good.
Okay. That brings us to Leolin.
I want to look around on the floor just do a quick search real quick. If there's any other... I've been gathering arrows, but is there any other sort of adamantine sword or warhammer or anything that I could get to Fall Rock that might be a bit more helpful than... You know, the gauntlets are good, but I think we need some more piercing.
There are plenty of adamantine weapons scattered around the floor. Most of them are being clutched by other adamantine golems, so you've got lots of options.
Currently held, though, but
I'm sure it's fine. I mean, there are some that are like half embedded in the walls. There are some that are just kind of lying out. Like, you've got choices as far as, you know, whatever it is you want to do here.
Right. Well, I shadow step over to wherever the nearest, like, just thinking like a long sword or just a bigger sword or some sort of, like I said, warhammer or axe or something sharp that I could pull out and hand to either Chet. Well, I don't think a dragon could clutch anything. Or then I can then drop down to Fall Rock to use as well. So,
yeah. You've got, I'm going to say that there are like a handful of swords. Some of them look like they'd be easier to get out of the floor than others. Or the golem that's holding them is kind of gripping them kind of loosely. There are a couple of big honking swords, a couple of smaller, like, long sword type things. And these are all slightly bigger than your average weapon, because the golems themselves are, like, 8 feet tall.
Let's go for one of the big honking swords.
All right. Yeah. Make a strength check to kind of wiggle it out of whatever clutches it's currently being held in.
14.
Yeah, you managed to heft it out of the golem that's holding it, and now you've got a real big honking adamantine sword.
All right. So Fall Rock is still running on the back of it, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Where are some different shadows that I could... So I guess what I want to do is drop it to him, but I don't also want to be on this thing's back, I don't think. So,
are you afraid?
Well, it's not exactly my style, so I guess is there some shadows near the ceiling where I can, like, what I'm picturing wanting to do is maybe run through a shadow kind of near through him, so then I can motion that I'm going to drop it to him, then drop it as I'm running through above him and go through on my way, and then it falls down to him for him to catch.
Yes, that is a viable thing that you could do.
All right, well, that's what I'm going to do. And I relay this to Fall Rock.
Raylan right. Shouts a very complex series of information to you.
Throwing a sword at you.
Mostly it's catch. Yeah, mostly it's catch. This heavy, honky sword.
Chet's going to prepare to try to catch it too, just in case.
I didn't know how much a dragon could catch, but yeah.
Well, so. I mean, I could try to wield it like Sif.
Like Sif, yeah.
From Dark Souls, or shoot. Right. I mean, I got strong arms. I'm a strong boy.
They're beefy arms, manly arms.
Yeah.
He's going to burninate the peasants.
What check do you want me to do to.
Oh, no, this is on Fall Rock.
Okay.
All you're doing is, like, casually strolling through some shadows and letting go of a sword.
Okay.
It's on Fall Rock to try and catch it, and that's going to be... I'm going to make this an acrobatics check.
Okay, all right. That's a 24.
Yeah. Oh. So the sword comes down from a shadow on the ceiling, and basically Fall Rock just reaches out a hand and catches it without breaking pace.
Mid-swing.
Yeah.
How big is this sword in comparison to me? Like,
it is twice your height.
Okay. Awesome. I'm here for it. I need to figure out what my actual attack options are with it.
Yes.
All right. Can I do anything else, or is that complex series of actions my turn?
I think coordinating all of that is going to... take up your turn. Yes.
All right, that's fine.
So that's going to put us at the adamantine golem. That plate is getting even hotter. It shifts from red, cherry red, through orange into white. You suspect that it probably won't be in place for very much longer. Then it's going to emit two more beams, or three more beams, rather. It had three previously. One of them was blocked by Ched, which are going to latch onto three more golems out in the quote-unquote audience. And then it's going to... with a great deal of grinding and crunching, it's going to swing its own arm up and backwards, the damaged one that's been heavily reinforced, and attempt to smash Fall Rock like it's using a fly swatter made of adamantine.
Okay.
Ari is practically nesting into my dice box at this stage.
Good. She's trying we need to all the help we can get.
We do. Can I use this sword to try to intercept at all? Or
sure. Yeah. So I'm going to have you make a an athletics check for this one because it's so just heavy.
Just basically hold it at the hand.
Yeah.
And I will also need your armor class.
18 for both, actually.
Oh, okay. Oh, are you playing with my dice now, Miss Ari? Are you going to roll those for me?
No, Ari, please. Be kind.
Okay, silly girl. So it is going to hit, but you do get the sword up. Ma'am.
I am trying to dungeon master.
Thank you. That was very helpful. So you are going to take 26 points of damage. Okay. The sword is now stuck through this large hammer of a hand that it has produced. So it's going to kind of swing it around. And it's going to take you on the hammer with it.
Oh boy, this is great. I'm here for it.
So you are removed from its back and you are placed firmly, like Wahoo arced through the air. And now you are just kind of chilling on this fist that has a sword stuck out of it, dangling off the hilt.
Awesome.
Hey, try to push the sword a little bit through the hand and war while you're up there.
Working on it!
Falrock is suspended in midair, and you're like, hey, can you manage that while you're up there?
Being flung back
and
forth.
Give me a few wiggles.
Good idea, Falrock. You take care of that hand. We'll get the rest.
I am just Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie. I am just Rocky on one of the evil giant monsters. Just like, I'm hanging.
All right. So that's all it's going to do. It is spending quite a bit of energy in getting this plate off of its death hole. That brings us around to Terrajux.
Okay, a couple questions. First, is it still electrified?
Yes.
Okay. I want to fly up around this thing in like a corkscrew pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm doing this, I want to dip down one of my hands and like trail my fingertips along the surface.
Yeah.
And what I am trying to do is as I spiral up this thing, I want to try to find the place where the electrical current is strongest. So I'm assuming, my working assumption here is that whatever core or like central command housing is probably going to be like where the defensive shell is like most intense or where it's emanating from. And so that's going to be where I focus my efforts. So if this is like a perception or arcana or however you want to, and I recognize I am jamming my hand into an electric field, so that will probably be not like great for me, but
aren't you immune to lightning damage?
I am resistant to it. I don't become immune until like level 16 or 17.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to that.
I'm sure you are. Okay. So make a perception check.
Okay.
And you are also going to take damage, yes.
Perfect. That is a total of 20.
Okay. And that's 21 electrical damage, lightning damage coming out, which I assume is halved.
Yes.
My
arm goes numb, but presumably I can feel it gets stronger at a certain spot, or it seems to be like concentrated somewhere, maybe.
It seems to be strongest at the joints, and then weaker as it gets closer to, like, it's strongest closer to the torso and gets weaker as it gets further away.
Okay. So like center mass on the torso, right where the white hot plate.
So to be clear, also, like, the electrical field doesn't extend all the way down its limbs. It's elbow to fingertips and knee to feet.
Oh, it's not on the torso at all.
It's not on the torso at all.
Ah, interesting. Okay. In that case, my next move is I'm going to do a, like, tuck and do a midair somersault. And I come back down upside down, double finger pistols pointing at this adamantine plate, and I want to cast Cone of Cold at point blank.
Okay. Seems reasonable to me.
What happens when something that's super hot gets super cold?
I believe typically it shatters.
Funny things happen.
But also, adamantine doesn't have to obey any laws of physics.
Yeah.
So that is a constitution saving throw. And I say point blank, but this is a gigantic cone, so I imagine that it's going to hit more than just that plate.
Yes.
I'm immune to cold.
You are.
So don't worry about me.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
He's currently a white dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, con save DC 18.
Uh-huh. Go ahead and roll your damage.
Cool. 46 cold damage.
Pretty chonky.
Good. And then after I do that, I move out of the way so I'm no longer directly in the path of the beam.
Uh-huh. Seems reasonable. So the plate in the center of its torso starts to warp and buckle. Whatever's going on here probably isn't super the best. It's not, like, about to explode or shatter, but something weird is going on with the structural integrity of this metal.
Which, yeah, this is fascinating science, actually.
Doesn't really match up with any of your common understanding of how, like, metal works, which for Terrajux is admittedly not a very strong understanding to begin with. But yeah, the plate's starting to look kind of worse for wear. Okay. Are you doing anything else?
Nope. I think I'm all good.
All right. That takes us to the top of the order with Chet.
Right. And true multi-attack. Here we go again. Heck at the yes. Same thigh. I'm going to have a heckin' strong turn. Well, maybe. That first attack, what is it, plus 7? Is a 15.
Okay. It's not going to get there.
Okay. The second attack is a nat 1.
Yay!
And the third is a 19.
The 19 will hit.
Okay. It'll take...
He sounds so thrilled.
It'll take 11 slashing damage.
Okay.
And Ched will roar out in Draconic a slur, or a series of curse words.
Okay. Terrajux thinks you're reading a
Terrajux,
poem.
Yeah. A what?
A poem.
Oh.
You're going to take 17 points of lightning damage.
Okay. That's not too bad.
No, it's fine. It's totally fine.
I mean, 17 is only like, it's only like 10% of my health pool. Or no, it's like 7% of my health pool.
Mm-hmm. All right. That, are you all finished?
I'm done.
Doing anything else?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. Nope. Over to Desmond.
I would like to cast Magic Missile on the strange science happening plate.
Oh, God!
Yeah, let's throw a little force into the beaker, into the test tube, and see what pops out.
Patrick, I don't think this bubble can get much bigger.
Thankfully, the plate is not facing me, but I don't know that that's going to save me if this thing blows.
14? I'm sure it'll be fine.
But hey, I've got plenty of dragon hit points, and then I've got all of my hit points.
All
after
of my
that.
Ched hit points.
16 points of force damage.
Okay. You smash a bunch of arcane bolts into this plate, and it starts to bubble. Which is not really like an activity that metal is supposed to do, generally speaking, like as a rule of thumb. So that's pretty neat. Whatever is brewing here is definitely going to happen very soon.
Gonna liquefy. You better stand clear. You're not covered for adamantine burns.
Oh, no, no!
Nobody is. Except Steinar Silverforge, but, you know.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Falrock, it's your turn.
Let's see. I would like to throw all of my weight forward and try to drag this sword with it. What I'm envisioning is like how Sonic the Hedgehog jumps, where he like spin jumps.
Uh-huh.
But I'm holding the sword.
Okay.
I don't have anything to push off of except for the arm itself, but it's a fist that it's stuck into, so like presumably I could get some purchase. Is this at all possible, or am I just
falling
in fantasy land?
I think with an acrobatics check, you could probably find a way to leverage yourself into a position that is favorable to you.
Okay. That is a 21 on acrobatics.
Yeah. Yeah, that's manageable.
Okay. And I'm just trying to rip this sword free by doing as much damage as possible.
Okay. How do I want to... Okay, give me a strength check.
Okay. That's a 22.
Okay. So, somehow, despite a lack of, like, any real leverage or levers to pull on, you manage to rip the sword out of this hand and like shred large chunks of the plating that was added, and you pull the crossbow that was built into its arm off at the same time.
Nice.
Okay. Roll 2d20 and add your strength modifier.
Okay. That's a total of 30.
Excellent. Yeah. So, quite a bit of damage there.
Do I need to roll something so that I land on the floor? Because I just kicked myself off of this golem. So.
I mean, you're going to land on the floor one way or the other.
Right. I will gladly use a key point to give myself slow fall if needed.
Yeah, I think that's what you need to do there.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, you land in a cool pose.
It's the Akira slide, but I'm holding a giant sword twice the size of me.
Fuck perfect. Yes.
Hell yeah. And there's like little... bits of frost twinkling as you slide.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cold going into this. Okay. Leolin.
Is that crossbow, like, free as in usable now?
It is heavily damaged.
Oh. Well, I'm still going to take it at some point.
Also, probably really, 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 really big.
Someday. We're going to mount that onto the ship.
Exactly.
Like, finally, a weapon the dwarves can use.
I mean, put it in the upgrade forge.
Will it even fit?
You know what? I don't know.
I don't think we ever talked about the actual size of the upgrade forge, but...
I've always been picturing, like, an air fryer.
All right, either way...
picturing, like, something maybe the size of an oven at most.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Either way, what I was like about to do, regardless...
It's a repurposed bathtub.
So this thing is, like, bubbling now, right?
It's tossed.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna... How about a couple exploding arrows added to that?
Y'all are really going for maximum science here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're interested in splitting harmonium.
It fours. Yep. Got some combustion about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Shit, I'll wild shape into something that can spray acid.
I grab two of those. Actually, first thing I'm going to do just to make sure it's... no. I'm just going to shoot two of them. Two exploding arrows. The first one's a total of 30. Second one is a total of 24 to hit.
Okay. Everything above an 18 hits.
Okay. And then, since they're just regular arrows and not adamantine arrows, does that regular damage even matter or no?
You can roll damage.
Okay.
It's not very promising.
Hee hee.
Well, that's fine. I mean, this damage isn't the one that really matters. So the arrow damage is 10 on the first and 8 on the second. And then it needs a DC, a dexterity saving throw, DC 15.
It fails.
Okay. Gonna take 19 fire damage.
Okay. So you throw a blast of flame at this bubbling concoction just to see what happens. Anything else you want to do?
Nope. Just watch.
Okay. It is the golem's turn. And that plate on the front does some real wonky stuff. The bubbling kind of gets more pronounced, almost like the plate itself is boiling. And then it kind of turns a shade of purple that doesn't really belong on this plane of existence.
Vanta purple.
I've seen stuff like that before.
Yeah. So I will need everybody to make a wisdom saving throw with advantage.
Oh, wowee.
Yeah.
We really did some science.
24.
Oh, no.
23.
Oh, no.
Thank goodness for advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The other one was I had one on my first roll. 17. Yep.
I rolled 2 10, so that's a 12.
18.
Okay. Desmond?
24.
I wasn't especially worried about you, but it's always good to check. Terrajux, you get a nosebleed. And you can't really look at the plate. Looking at the plate gives you a headache. If you keep looking at the plate, you're going to start taking psychic damage.
Okie dokie.
Everybody else, you're fine. Then this weird, off-purple, strange mass kind of ejects from the front of the golem, and it starts moving very slowly, and then it starts moving faster, and now there is a a ball of superheated adamantine plasma that is just kind of ricocheting off the walls of this room.
Oh no.
We fucked around and we found out.
Oh yes, we did.
The hole in the center of the golem is ringed with hardening. It almost looks like if you ever seen pictures of solar flares, it looks like that, but it's again this like purple, unpurple substance that is kind of hardening into place. So the hole doesn't look like it's going to be as functional, because whatever it is you've done, it's still blocking some of the exterior, but it is also open again. The golem is going to attempt to fall directly forward such that Fall Rock goes into the hole.
Oh no!
Okay.
Please make me a dexterity saving throw.
Okay. Can I do the same thing I did previously with the sword?
Yeah, sure. That is, okay. So you have a choice here. You
can either choosing to fail then?
You can either attempt to get out of the way, or you can hold the sword up and let the golem fall onto it. But you cannot, you can't do both.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm gonna stab it. I'm gonna try and get the sword in there.
Okay.
This golem's coming down and Fall Rock strikes up the, original Star Wars, forward, upward. I'm like, fuck, he's so cool.
I'm just kind of picturing Thundercats.
Yeah.
he started this and he just wants to finish it.
The power
by the Eye of Thundara.
And I'm resistant to fire damage, so that helps.
We can only hope that this is fire damage and not some new exciting damage type.
If this is some new exciting damage type, then you know what? I will pay for my own crimes.
Alright. Go ahead and make that. What check was it last time? Was it acrobatics or was it strength?
Strength to lift the sword, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Total of 20.
Okay. So the golem ejects this purple orb and then face plants directly on Fall Rock. And the last thing you see before it collapses is Fall Rock holding this giant adamantine blade directly up. And that's where we're going to stop, because believe it or not, we've been recording for an hour and 15 minutes.
God damn.
It's combat encounter.
So a nice dramatic cliffhanger. I've been Joe, your host and dungeon master for this thrilling D&D adventure. If you wish to get in touch with us, you can do so at thealchemistclub88@gmail.com or thealchemistsclub88@gmail.com. You can find us on just about any podcast hosting platform you want, so tell your friends, have them give us a listen, maybe write in or leave a nice review. And Matthew, what are our socials?
Find us at @thealchemist_club on Twitter and @thealchemistclub on TikTok.
And our golem fighting adventurers today were
Daniel playing Chedfley.
Cahill playing Desmond.
I'm Zach and I play Fall Rock.
I'm Matt and I play Leolin.
Waffle playing Tarjux.
Thanks for joining us.